I went up to spend a couple of days with my dad this past week, and we're in the process of moving him from the house where he's lived for 35 years, most of that with my mother, into a new apartment, an independent living apartment. Coincidentally, it was the same group of buildings that my grandmother, his mother, was in some years ago. And so for this past Thursday and Friday, his apartment is not much different in size from my study. A little more room. And I went over and over with him about where things were and how to get to the trash room and the elevator and the dining room and the mailbox. And I watched a lot of old episodes of Gunsmoke with him. And whenever he would think of something that he wanted or needed from the grocery or from his old house, which we still have possession of for a couple of three more weeks, he can't drive anymore. So I say, well, Dad, let's just go get it, because God knows he's driven me all over the place. And I ate with him, and I watched him order food that he would eat very little of. I helped him hunt for things that he couldn't find. Tried to tell him, Dad, I know it's different for you now, but there's a certain amount of this that everybody that moves goes through. I hesitate to say, I think we've still got a couple of boxes up in his attic at his house from the last time they moved. I would answer his questions, and it's just the way it is. He asks them over and over again. I washed his silverware up for him. Don't tell my wife that. At night, I inflated an air mattress and slept on the floor in his living room, because he's only got one bedroom now. And so we spent those 2 days together, and I will admit that sometimes I was tired. I don't sleep on an air mattress like I used to. And sometimes I would be a little bored and sometimes a little frustrated, and every time I would think that, I would think to myself, honor your father. And so I would get up and help him look for whatever he was looking for. And honor your father. That's what God told us to do. That's why I was there. That's why I will be there again as often as I can, as much as it's within my power. That's why I was there. Why are you here? Why are we here? Why are you here this morning? Why am I here at this church? I admit that I have been wrestling with questions like these a lot of late. And there's a lot of different opinions about why I am here, or why you are here, or what it is that we are supposed to be doing. Some people think we're doing this for entertainment. One little boy griped that it was kind of boring, but all in all, not a bad show for a dollar. Some think we're here for a pep rally, sort of get together and go rah, rah, Jesus for a while. Other people think it's for community service. I read at least part of a book recently, and there's always something new coming down the pike. And this last one says that what we're supposed to do, why we're here, is we're supposed to figure out our unique identity and then offer that to the community. That's right, because Jesus told us to go into all the world and figure out our unique identity and offer that to people. Supposed to go into all the world and offer them him, tell them about him. So why are we here? Why are you here? Let me see if I can provoke you to love and good works and tell you how I am answering that question as I wrestle with these things. The first answer to that question is I'm here to honor God by obeying His commands. When I kept thinking to myself, honor your father and your mother, it isn't that I didn't want to do the things that he wanted me to do. It's just that, as I tell my dad, I don't mind you getting older, but you keep dragging me along right behind you. I'm 61. I kind of like sitting on the couch some. But we do this. And that night, I talked to him on the phone. He always wants me to call him when I get back so he knows I'm okay. And he said, thanks for everything you did for me these last couple of days. And my dad's kind of a John Wayne kind of guy. About once every now and then, he'll answer back, I love you too. I always know he does. He just doesn't say it much. But when he said, thanks for everything you did for me, I said, you're my dad. And there was a quiet moment on the phone, and I knew I got him. We do this because it's part of what God told us to do. Honor your father and your mother is part of the Ten Commandments. It's part of that initial summarizing of right and wrong that God gave us. The fact of the matter is, in our culture, we think that we can say, I believe in Jesus, and do whatever we want. But the fact of the matter is, you can't believe in Jesus and do whatever you want. There is a line between right and wrong. We're not saved by obeying His commands, but we are saved to obey His commands. Because He has saved us, we can obey His commands. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Really doesn't get any plainer than that. We're here to obey God. Some years ago when I was in Bible college and I went home and we were required to do something for an internship in the summer, and our college and career class at our home church was run by a portly young Texan named Tommy Mosley. And Tommy was instrumental in discipling me a great deal. And so he made me a group leader, and we did things through the summer with the class, and there were three others of us. And then also about in that time, I was getting fairly serious dating you may know her, her name's Rayanne. And based on our schedules, and we just hardly had time together. So one Sunday night after church, I told Rayanne, let's just go out, just you and I. We'll get something to eat, and we'll just sit and talk before I take you home. Well, then at the service, Tommy came up to me and said, David, we're going to have an afterglow. We're all going to go to this restaurant, and it'll be a class activity. And I said, oh, Tommy, I can't go. I'm not going to go. Rayanne and I are going to go. And he looked at me, and he said, David, you're one of the leaders in our class, and you need to be there. And he turned around and walked away, and I was madder than a mashed duck. And after a while, I thought to myself, but he's right. And I talked to Rayanne, and she said, that's all right. So I went up to Tommy after the service, and I said, did you want me to bring anybody in my car? And he just looked at me. In the end, I guess you could say I obeyed. We're here to honor God by doing what He said. I'm here to honor God by believing in His Son. I know this gets basic. Sort of like somebody asking a Baptist church, do you baptize here? Well, absolutely. Maybe we need to back up a step further. Do you believe in Jesus? When I was 10 years old, I put my faith in Christ. And I've told you about it before. And the man explained John 3:16 to me. But that verse, more than any other, has eternal significance to me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't believe in Jesus and do anything you want, but it's still just that simple to believe in Him, and He will change you. And this is part of God's His commandments. This is part of us obeying God. And what are his commandments, John the Apostle, as an old man wrote? He said that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. And they said that as John got older, he kept repeating himself. Until finally at the end, when they'd carry him into the church at Ephesus, he just kept telling people, little children, love one another. And they asked him, Father, why do you say that over and over again? He said, because it's the Lord's command. And if we do this, it's enough. It's the Lord's command that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I've gone to a concert. I long ago decided that if I wanted to see somebody in concert, I would much rather buy the Blu-ray and watch it on my own television at home. Because I'd go to the concert and I think, wow, old so-and-so is really going to be here. And then I would sit back and think, yep, there he is, way down there, that little bitty dot. And the performer just seems so distant. And have you ever been in a crowd and looking around and all of a sudden, maybe it's just a stranger, maybe it's just coincidence, but all of a sudden realize that somebody is looking right back at you, right back in your eyes? May I say to you that on the day that that man explained John 3:16 to me, I don't know what I prayed, because it's not in the magic words. We've got the sinner's prayer. That's a great guideline. But there's no magic words. I don't remember what I prayed, but I remember that day, all of a sudden, God didn't seem far off. He seemed right there. And all of a sudden, I knew that I was the focus of attention, his attention, that God loved me and that Jesus loved me. I'm here to honor God by believing in his Son. I'm here to honor God by repenting when I have done something wrong. One of the preachers in our fellowship growing up, he was at our college in chapel. He said something that seemed at first quite scandalous to us. He stood up and this craggy old man said, quote, I hate to repent. He let that sit there for a moment and then he says, I hate to do things I have to repent of. And I have remembered that so much over the years. Moody used to say, I've got more trouble with D.L. Moody than any man I know. I've got more trouble with David Tyra than any of you have ever given me. And I can't tell you how many times I prayed, oh God, created me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways. And then will sinners return to you. We honor God when we're out of line, when we've done something wrong, when we repent, when we make it right. I've known too many people. I'm talking about Christian people. I'm talking about people even in ministry in one way or another that have made bad decisions, that have made shipwreck. Anytime a preacher will tell you he's not afraid to die, don't buy a used car from him because he'll lie about something else too. But I want you to know something. At 61, and I've thought this for a long time, oh God, help me get to my grave without messing up big. And if you'll help me get to my grave without messing up big time, I can greet my grave like a long-lost friend. God, keep me out of the ditch. God, keep me right. Somebody's watching. I'm here to honor God by repenting when I've done something wrong. I'm here to honor God by preaching the gospel. You're thinking, bully for you, but this includes all of us. I remember sitting in the balcony at High Street Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri, and there was a man, and I'm astonished that when I Google search his name, I can come up with hardly anything. A short, portly, jovial man whose face shone with the love of Christ, and he would preach the gospel. And I sat there and listened to him, and that verse kept occurring to me, how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody write this down. I want that on my tombstone someday. Not anytime soon. How shall they hear without a preacher? I used to get my Bibles engraved with my name. I don't do that anymore. I don't know if this is uptown or not. I've got a stamp. I've got a seal. It's got my name. And in the seal it says 1 Corinthians 1:17. And underneath it says, preach the gospel. And that's where Paul, people were arguing about who baptized me or who baptized you. And my preacher's better than yours. And he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And by the way, right there, that tells you that baptism isn't how we're saved. Baptism's not part of the good news. It's a picture of the good news. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And it's been maybe 12 years ago that I realized Christians need the gospel, whether you think so or not. We need it just as much today as on the day we called on our Savior. It's not kindergarten and then we move on to, you know, the deep things. Oh, we need to move into the deep things. But we're sinners and we need Jesus. And it's not just the official union card carrying clergy members or missionaries. I love Acts chapter 8, not because it talks about persecution, but when the persecution led by Saul of Tarsus, whom God had an appointment with later on, when that broke out against the church, and the Bible says Saul was ravaging the church like an animal, and the Bible says they that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And a verse or two earlier, it says, except the apostles. These weren't the official preachers. These were the ordinary folk. And it used a different word from the kind of word used for preaching for pastors and evangelists and missionaries. It was more akin to what one commentator called gossiping the gospel. It's every one of you and me is talking about Jesus. Gossiping the gospel. That's why I'm here. That's why we're here. How shall they hear without a preacher? Everybody wants to be the final link in the chain. We all want to be there when somebody finally says, I want to pray and believe in the Lord Jesus. But folks, those other links in the chain are just as important. And whatever you say, whatever you do, every one of those links in the chain, they've done studies and shown that people sometimes, they need from 7 to 12 contacts with Christian people. Meaningful contacts. 7 to 12 contacts in which they understand the gospel of Jesus. And all of that bumps them toward that point when they call upon him. And some conversions are dramatic, like Saul of Tarsus. And some of them are not so dramatic, like Timothy's or Thaniel's, but genuine, just as genuine. I'm here to preach the gospel. We're here to honor God by preaching the gospel. I'm here to honor God by singing his praise and proclaiming his name. When I was about to turn 30 years old, I tell sometimes people in their 30s or late 20s, I said, I got to tell you, for the longest time, I didn't feel like an adult. I just felt like a kid in an adult's body. And then somewhere around 33, I thought, well, there's no denying it now. That's like when my grandson sometimes calls me an old guy. I'm 61. There's no denying it now. But a few minutes before midnight on February the 3rd, 1986, it just seemed a significant milestone to me. And I knelt beside my bed and I opened my Bible to Psalm 30. And I said, God, would you give me some guidance for my 30th year? And tucked away in Psalm 30, it seems pretty grim for a while. And he's basically asking, God, save me. Don't let me die. And then he said, if I do die, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your name? And it just leapt out at me. Those are the twin purposes of my life. To sing your praise, to proclaim your name in whatever context, however many, however few people are there, to sing your praise and proclaim your name. I'm here to honor God by singing his praise and proclaiming his truth. I'm here to honor God by being faithful no matter what other people think. Proverbs chapter 30 starts out, and the king says, the king said to Jake and to Jalmuna, and I always thought, who's Jake and Jalmuna, and why am I supposed to care about them? And names have meaning, and in the modern translation, they translated the meaning of the name, and all the first time I read it like that, I thought that's how it's supposed to be. Because what he said, the king said, I am weary, O God. I am weary and worn out. And I thought, that's what he said. That's what it said. The wonderful chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 that contains the gospel hymn, for Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he was raised the third day according to the scriptures. That's at the beginning of the chapter. The chapter ends, therefore be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And later Paul said, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint. So many people start and stop, come and go, drift in and drift out. We used to have an old car. Anybody remember Oldsmobiles? My grandpa always bought those, and then we ended up with one of his old ones. And back when the Dukes of Hazzard, you don't have to remember them. But when they were popular, my younger brother Steve, he dubbed that old Oldsmobile the General after that TV series. And the funny thing is, we would have, my family usually had a couple of cars, one for my dad, one for my mom, and then as we had teenagers, we had the older one. And there was always whatever the two newer cars were, and then there was the General sitting at the end of the driveway. The General was the car we drove when the new ones broke down, because it just kept going. And the last time I saw it, I think we gave it to a family member. And for all I know, if they kept the oil change, maybe it's still going. Martin Lloyd-Jones used to sign his letters, keep on. We're here to honor God by being faithful no matter what other people think. And I'm here to honor God by trusting him. Man, there's too many people I miss. And some of them are with Jesus, and some of them, their lives have just taken different paths. And I never thought about having the privilege of preaching funerals for preachers. Let me tell you, that's special to me. And when Paul Jones passed away and Alice asked me if I would do his funeral, I said it'd be a privilege, it would be an honor. But I feel the weight of that. And right before I got up to lead the service, it was in their old church, and I knelt down in front of her at the front pew. I said, Alice, is there any other instructions you have for me? Anything you like to tell me? And she looked at me, and you remember how she smiles. And she smiled at me. She said, no, it's just time to trust God. I wrote that in the front of my Bible. That's not really original, is it? But it's so powerful. My grandparents gave me my second Bible. My first one was given to me by an aunt and an uncle, and just a few months after that, because we grew up in an independent Baptist church, my grandparents gave me a Scofield Bible, don't you know? The kind the Apostle Paul used. And they wrote in the front, you know, from and to, and then underneath they wrote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I remember my grandma said, those would be good verses to take for your life verses, good verses to build your life on. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways. King James says, and He will direct your paths. And people get bent out of shape because the newer ones say, and He will make your paths straight. Oh, folks, if you're in the middle of the woods and that path is going that way, and if somehow magically that path could become straight, that's how I want God to direct my ways. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all of our ways. And He will direct our paths. He will make our paths straight. We're here to trust Him. It's harder because we've got so much. It's easier to trust Him when you don't have anything. I'm glad we've got so much, but sometimes it's like a narcotic. It sort of numbs us to our spiritual needs. It's harder to trust Him when we've got tools and all of these things that we think we have to have. But that's still the core of it. Trust in the Lord. Are you trusting Him? Do you trust Him? If you haven't, will you trust Him? This is how I'm answering the question. Why am I here? Why are you here? Let's bow our heads, please. Oh, our Father in heaven, hear the cry of our heart. Let us hear your word this morning. In some ways, take us back to basics, Father. Why are we here? The only reason to be here is because of you, Lord Jesus. The only reason to do anything that we do is because of you, Lord Jesus. Oh, help us to trust you. Our Father, thank you for Nathaniel's humble testimony. And thank you that he believed in you so long ago. And thank you now that he wanted to be baptized. Father, whatever paths our lives take, if there's someone here that needs to receive the difference, Lord, help them to understand. It's not just going to church or trying to be good or trying to be religious. It's trusting you, Lord Jesus. And for some, Father, maybe they live a pretty good life. And for some, I pray that out of their profanity and blasphemy that they would at last call upon you. But we need to trust you. For the rest of us, Father, have already come to that point in our life. Lord, why are we here? Why are we still here? We're supposed to trust you. It's time to trust God. Help us to trust you. Help us to obey you. Help us to be faithful. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.